One of the lasting pleasures I get from being a frequent traveler is the people I get to meet in so many different cities and countries, seeing how they live and getting to hear their take on the world. And I find that getting to participate for a little while in their world can be a real eye-opener. It can make my own world a bigger and better place. Coming up on today's Travel with Rick Steves, we're going to check in with fellow travelers who've become extraordinary travelers as they embedded themselves into a wide variety of communities all around the world. We'll get an insider perspective on two remarkable islands as Jeff Biggers tells us about a delightful festival complete with choirs and shepherds that's held every year on the Italian island of Sardinia. And Irish Times columnist Fintan O'Toole helps us understand what's gone into shaping Ireland into the much-appreciated example it sets for the world today. Tom Tursich tells us how he became the 10th person on record to actually walk around the world. And in just a bit, we'll hear how an artist's garden near Paris can inspire us to add color and form to our own lives. But first, Michael and Debbie Campbell join us to share details we didn't have time to include when they were last with us on Travel with Rick Steves. They're here to reveal what helped them turn guest houses and B&Bs into their temporary home in 95 countries around the world. It's how they spent the last 12 years living as the senior nomads. If I was running around the world for 12 years, I'd be inclined to go back to certain countries because the world's kind of a small place. Did you find yourself going back to some country more than others? And you thought, I've got something going on with this country.
The countries we repeated most often, obviously France, because we have family there. Italy, because everyone should go there many, many times. Croatia at the beginning. We really ourselves going back to Croatia. Michael?
We used to live in the U.K. for 5 years, many years.
You guys are so like, you're like a tandem bicycle in the flesh.
As Michael often says, we're rowing the boat in the same direction.
There you go. Okay, Michael, I interrupted you. I'm sorry.
No, just to say that we also went to the U.K. a lot.
Okay, in general, the travel tips. I like what you do because you're relocating every week or two or whatever. How do you settle in, emotionally or physically or whatever? I know that you work to be a temporary local, basically, not just seeing the museums, but cooking and what?
I think the most important thing is we took our pillows with us, because when you unpack and you put your pillows on the bed, it really feels like home. And then I set about getting onto the Wi-Fi and plugging everything in and getting everything up and running. And Debbie's going through the kitchen to see if there's anything in the
kitchen.
Stock
the pantry.
Yeah.
Stock the pantry. That's so important to me.
Just make sure. Don't go buy everything to make a pasta dinner and have not looked to see if you have a pasta pot.
There you go. Okay. That's important. And then as you're settling in, you focus on the walkability, I would imagine.
Public transportation, walkability.
Uh-huh.
One of the things we did is we stumbled across this idea. We look and see where the free walking tour starts in every city and assume that that's kind of the center of the known universe in each city.
So true.
And then we start do a circle around there and we look for places to stay that are close to that,
which
kind of assures us that we're within walking distance of kind of the main attractions in
and
the city.
Places to stay would be short-term rentals.
Short-term rentals.
Even though they are twice as expensive relative to hotels as they used to be, I think.
Well, we started out 12 years ago. At that time, it was more affordable to be.
Right, but now they're essentially the cost of hotels, aren't they?
But you still get the opportunity to potentially meet your host. And one of the things that we've been doing lately to budget is to stay in a room in a house. So we've stayed in rooms and homes in a few cities now and find that to be nice. We've always wanted to meet our hosts when we can.
Yeah, but that's the old way to do it. And when I was a kid, you'd stay in B&Bs and you'd watch TV with your host at night and she'd bring out tea and cookies or whatever. And it was a beautiful, intimate thing. After 12 years on the road, if you left town tomorrow and had to choose two places that you'd split for like a one-month trip, where would you two go?
I'd like to revisit India, the south of India. I'd return to Samarkand in Uzbekistan. I really liked it there.
Why?
Oh, it was just culturally rich. We went to a wedding, our host's wedding.
Oh.
I just felt like there was so much history.
Was there an appetite for people to meet you?
Yeah.
See, there's a hunger in countries like that to meet this like mythic American who's actually my friend now, or we can share a drink.
Yeah.
Michael, how about you? Where would you go?
I'd go back to Italy because I love being in Italy.
Yeah. And favorite foreign word?
Ooh la la.
There you go. You got it. Okay, Michael.
Hola.
Hola. I like it. The Campbells share lessons from their global travels at seniornomads.com and in their Senior Nomads Facebook group. Elizabeth Murray decided to close up her professional gardening practice in Monterey, California, and move to France. When Elizabeth first joined us on Travel with Rick Steves, she explained how she volunteered to help rehabilitate the garden that Impressionist painter Claude Monet had created at Giverny. That experience taught her how cultivating a garden in your own backyard can be your own work of art. You know, I'm looking right now at the cover of your book, Monet's Passion, and I can imagine if you were an artist who'd loved his paintings, and we'd have them on posters in our walls and everywhere, you know, because he's so easy to love. And then here you have the actual garden, and this is not a painting, this is a photograph on the cover of your book, and you can walk right in, as long as you don't step into the lily pads, you can walk right into this magical world with the weeping willows and the Japanese arched bridge. It's like each flower is the work of a different paintbrush off of an artist's palette. How can this be that an artist can be a gardener?
Oh, well, it's a natural. I think gardens are the highest form of art.
You said many what? Gardens artists, are the highest form of art?
I think they can be.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's quite a statement.
Because they change over time, and they're all about color, texture, movement, sometimes sound, their seasonality.
There is an extra dimension there, isn't there? Because they do morph and they change with the seasons and the time of the day and where the sun is. It takes art, I would suppose, to a whole new dynamic and organic level.
That's right. And it's three-dimensional, moving.
So wait a minute. And about 30 years ago, you were traveling around and you were visiting gardens all over Europe. You've seen a lot of great gardens. You're a professional gardener with your own staff. You went to Giverny, 2 hours west of Paris, and you were so impacted by that that you went home, quit your job, and moved to France and volunteered for nearly a year.
Yes, that's right. And I didn't speak French.
Was that a youthful indiscretion, or was that a good move in your life?
It was an incredible move.
Elizabeth Murray's photographs and musings are featured in her books Monet's Passion and Living Life in Full Bloom, and at elizabethmurray.com. We can introduce you to all sorts of interesting people each week because we're part of the system we call public radio. You may have heard by now that in the United States, the vast majority of the funding for public radio comes from its listeners. Voluntary contributions, where you get to decide how much this station is worth to you. It's up to you to help support this station during these occasional fundraising drives. This is how the non-commercial public broadcasting system works in our country. Your financial contribution, right now, lets you and your neighbors rely on this station well into the future. I'm Rick Steves, asking you to join me in supporting the station during this special fundraising campaign. This is where I know my dollars are being put to very good use. I think public radio is by far the best value going in today's media marketplace. Consider it, the breadth of the reliable coverage, the conversation and culture, it really makes my day. With your contribution, you're helping to fund the source you also rely on every day to stay informed and entertained and enlightened. We know your time and money are limited resources. You want to get the very most experience for every dollar and minute you spend. That's why I feel so good about contributing to my local public radio station. Can we count on you as well?